Hello, folks, and thanks for tuning into the Immortals podcast. I'm your host, Trey Sean, and this is Jared beside me.
Trey sounds particularly stoned right now. He's not.
Do I sound stoned? That's what's up. It's cool. It's the peace pipe, man.
It'll be legal in Jersey soon.
It will. That's crazy. Really? Is there like a set age for that?
For the voting? Yeah. Well, first you have to be like a politician of sorts.
Is that an age requirement?
Yeah, I think you've got to be old.
Oh, okay, okay.
You have to be at least 10% dust. They don't do age, they just do.
But no. So today, what are we talking about today, Jared?
I got a few topics lined up for us.
Okay, Jared did most of our topic lineup today, so.
Yes.
Shout out to the chef.
As you guys know from our previous podcast, I've been working up in New York City, the armpit of the East Coast.
Okay.
And there's a lot of creative people up there. And I want to talk about meeting creative people and how to learn from them and also how to continue interacting with them, but in a way that's like an exchange, not necessarily like a one-way track. So, you know, you give some creative inspiration or some help, and then they give it back, not, you know, just you leeching off of them. Because I think that's probably the best way to grow creatively is to exchange.
Who are you talking to? I don't feel like you're talking to me. You sound like you're giving a speech.
No, I wanted to set the situation of like...
Can you make eye contact with me when you talk?
I'm looking at the computer to make sure I sound good.
I'm messing with you.
Is this good?
I don't know. You can't see, but I'm sure they're uncomfortable too.
Yeah, I'm back against the wall with a triple chin.
I think this is a cool, fairly topical question for the Immortals podcast because Immortal, the brand, the company, actually started from my interactions with a lot of creative people. So going through high school and in community college, I met a lot of people who were creatives, I'll say, in different means. Some of them, like Drew, did photography, music, and in a lot of different avenues. But Immortal was the desire to be able to give those people resources. And I think that's what my interaction with creative people has always been. Has always been the desire to give them the resources to create. Because I don't personally view myself as a really creative person. I find myself more the organized, the manager, the business aspect of it, and I'm okay with that. And I have my creative expressions in a way, but I've always felt like enabling creative people when I'm around them, I think.
Yeah, that's a great little like insight into your personal experience. I do want to pivot and mention that there is a third human in this room.
There is.
There is Brandon, B Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He is. We only have two mics. We just got all this cool new gear, which is why this is now a pleasure to the ear holes.
Yeah, to the ear tips. Did you wanna chime in? I don't know. How do you feel about creativity and interacting with creative people?
I don't know. I feel like I haven't really interacted with many creative people prior to like college and such. But I feel like once I've started interacting with more creative people, it's rubbed off on me pretty well, and I've definitely picked up on a lot of new. You know, ways to share my creativity, different things that I can do. But I don't really feel as though I've really given much to other people. I don't really feel like there's been much of a take as much as there people have been giving me things, you know? So I don't know. I feel like I don't have that balance that you probably should have when it comes to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just how I feel about it.
Wow. Brandon has an A+ podcast voice. I'm a little upset.
I think too, though, it starts there, right? Like there's always a point in your life where you're learning. You know, there's always a point where there's a lot more take than there is give for you. And I think that's okay. You know, it gets to the point where you learn from your teachers so that one day you can give back to those people. And I think that's what it's about, is when you have creative people and you feel like you're doing a lot of take and not really giving a lot, I think it's important to keep that feeling in mind. You know, because one day I come back to them and say, hey, I really wanted to work on a project with you. I had this idea here. I think that's the really cool thing about being in that stage. Yeah. And that's a good driving factor, too, to want to be able to give back to a lot of the people that influenced you.
Yeah. From my personal experience, something I never really did until recently is just going out with the purpose to meet people. like going to events and like just seeking out creative people in general, not just waiting for them to find you. Because if mm-hmm. they're where you want to be and you're not, why are they going to come down to you? You got to come up to them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me, I always struggled to learn from the creative people around me just with the fact that like I didn't know what to ask them, or I didn't know really how to drive the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think you always feel so intimidated maybe when you come up against people who you view as like these creative giants, or, you know, whatever it is that they've accomplished in your field. You always feel super intimidated going to those people to say like, how do I even approach you? What do I say? Like, is this weird? Like, there's so many awkward feelings I think about that first interaction.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, does a train run through here by any chance?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I'm not even sure where the train is. There is a train, but it's on the other side of campus. It should be nowhere near here.
Huh. I don't think that you could hear that well on the podcast, but I was like,
there's no
what am I hearing right now?
You know, I was talking and I heard it, but I didn't register it until you asked.
Because I had headphones on listening to us. Yeah, that's totally a train. You guys can't hear that. Anyway.
Maybe it runs by, you don't need the geography of Glassboro. Nobody cares. But there's a like over that direction, there's like a police station and such, and it might run by there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, back to the topic of like
mm-hmm.
talking to creative people that are, you know, I guess like levels above you and you don't know like where to go with the conversation. I've kind of learned to not be shy and that people like to show off their skill. So just okay, ask yeah. them, you know, hey, can you show me, you know, like a small little bit of like what you do? Or can you, I know for me when I was in the internship, just going and asking, like, hey, do you mind like showing me one of your project files and just, you know, how you organize and like, what are some quick tips you do? And things like that, or just invite somebody out for coffee or lunch,
mm-hmm.
Is a pretty cheap way to, you know, get that valuable experience. I wanted to kind of pivot though from experiences with creative people and learning from them and the exchange to keeping a balance between too much inspiration mm-hmm. and having your own voice.
Yeah,
this doesn't, I don't think, particularly apply to meeting creative people, because I don't think you can ever really meet so many creative people where you're overwhelmed. But like social media and things like Pinterest and Instagram mm-hmm. give you access to thousands of people at once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how to realize that you're not going to be the most original person, but also to kind of have your own voice.
Yeah. I think that it's so. I think it's about looking at something and asking the question of why does it interest you? So when you see a piece of art that you really like, or you hear a song that's really good, instead of just trying to recreate that, go, okay, well, what about this do I really like? Because no piece is perfect, right? So you can look at something and you can say, well, maybe it's the color scheme that I really like. And then, okay, well, what is it about these colors? So then you're not maybe stealing that, but you can... It's the vibe that you like, and that maybe that comes from the colors that pop. And so maybe you use that color palette, but in something completely different. So you still get that energy, but your own twist on it. And so that's why I think like it's about finding what it is you like about that piece, and then how you can incorporate that versus, you know, this piece is really good. I need to make something like this. I need to make this.
Yeah, I agree. You know, finding what's essentially good about it, mm-hmm. trying to build off of it, like mm-hmm. the principle behind it.
Yeah.
Especially
too, I think.
Oh, yeah. Please finish.
I was gonna say, especially too, I think that when I say like no piece is perfect, you look at it and you see those flaws. A lot of times, the flaws are what make a piece. A lot of what gives it its character. A lot of what makes it that style. So. Well, I mean, in a sense, though, it's the little imperfections that are, because anybody can follow theory and create a piece, but it's the little mistakes, little stuff you didn't recognize, the stuff you don't know yet that makes it your own piece. So when you look at something, critique that piece and then take your favorite part of it and then make your own mistakes on it. You know, I think that's how you make something yours. Make your own mistakes on a piece.
Yeah, I will say that I don't think... I think it's useful in developing like technical skills. Doing like exclusively fan art is,
mm-hmm.
I don't think always the best way to grow your skills. but it might be a good way at like growing those technical skills.
Yeah, honing
but
certain
definitely
skills.
Not developing your own style. Mm-hmm. You know, not very beneficial.
I agree with you there.
I wanted to pivot off of that. We're just gonna do a lot of pivots today.
Ballerina. You know, do you ever go anywhere if you're only pivoting? Or are you still in the same?
I guess you are going in a circle. If you go fast enough, you will create a vortex to another dimension.
Okay. I'm going to pivot here into another dimension.
Speaking of dimensions, I want to talk about... you couldn't hear me there. I wanted to talk about some inspirations I'm having right now.
Okay.
Inspirations. Some sources of inspiration.
Okay.
And we can all go around and talk about what we're into right now. But I've been reading a lot of comics. In particular, Image Comics, East of West, and Black Science.
You've been an East of West fan for a while now, definitely.
Like 2 months.
I thought those were the comics you've been collecting for a while. The digital ones that you were reading. And so I thought it was a while ago.
No, I started at the beginning of the internship. So like 2 or 3 months ago.
What are the digital comics that you had that you were looking at? There was definitely like a really cool style that you were doing. It was a while ago. I don't know. It's okay. I thought that was East Meets West, though.
No, I did Star Wars for a while.
No.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I do have like a subscription to magazines.
I mean, I do know a couple Jared, so it's, you know.
Yeah, you know, they might. Yeah.
It's definitely possible.
Yep.
So yeah, sources of inspiration. What have you been thinking lately?
Yeah, I've been getting into these two comics, and I like these two comics because the illustration is fantastic and the graphic design is also fantastic.
Okay.
Both of them have great logos. They're laid out very well. They also are both very good stories. I will say, sorry if you're like a superhero comic fan, but I think hero comics are really dry and boring for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Civil War was really cool because it's like a very realistic plot, but for the most part, I think hero comics are really basic, and these are some, how do I put it? Like off the beaten path mm-hmm. comics. They've got some interesting stories.
So it's like if you only watch like shonen anime, like if you only watch like Naruto and Bleach and you never watch like the art.
You never watch ping pong the animation. You only recommend.
Yeah. You know, you, I thought it was something you would like.
Yeah, this
I didn't
guy,
even watch it. I thought it was something you would like. So I
recommended Ping Pong the Animation.
Super good, yeah.
Never watched it himself.
No, but he really enjoyed it. It was still a good recommendation.
Wow, that was a spike if I've
it
ever
was.
Seen one.
I felt like it was a spike.
But yeah, so a little background on Image Comics. They split off from Marvel to do their own thing. And like if you're familiar with Spawn, that's an Image property.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a lot of cool stuff. East of West is, in a nutshell, without spoiling anything, somebody's leaving the recording room right now.
Brandon, and I'm on the mic.
Brandon's taking it. Okay, he's got a better podcast voice.
So we actually kicked him out. Sorry.
Okay, continue.
I'm listening.
Yeah, so basically, four horsemen of the apocalypse are coming together to destroy the Earth. And there's like it takes place in an alternate United States with seven nations. You got like
this is a comic.
This is a comic.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. I have all the current issues. It comes out monthly, and I buy the volumes, so I'm not going to get another issue until probably like January, which sucks.
Oh, but they are still releasing new copies.
But they are still. Well, it's coming to a close soon. But okay. Yeah, they're releasing new. And then the other one is Black Science, which is really good. That one's been going on for a little longer, but the premise behind that is. The scientist has developed, well, the idea is on like string theory and like unlimited alternate universes.
Okay.
And so his thought was, well, any problem we have here, some alternate world has figured out how to fix the problem. So like any disease, any like problem we have, we just have to go find it.
So it's like he made the unlimited dimensions type thing. So
yeah.
Like every single possible combination of anything.
Yeah.
Wow. Bad guest. Bad guest.
Yeah. Any
podcast foul.
Any outcome yeah. that podcast could be foul. Is. And so they create this pillar to jump dimensions to find stuff. But, you know, it goes really wrong. There's like multiple versions of the same person. Like they didn't think about this, but like when you open up to new dimensions, there might be solutions, but then you also get all of their problems. So it's an exchange. You're not really exchanging solutions, you're exchanging problems. And so it's really interesting to see. And then on top of it, somebody sabotaged the machine, so it's jumping around dimensions and they don't know where they're going. So it's super cool.
This, that sounds like the, for any anime fans watching, it sounds like the Steins Gate of American comic books. It's a big like time travel thing about this mad scientist, and there's a whole like organization that's doing time. I don't know. It's just
as goofy as it is. It has a lot of parallels with like Rick and Morty, with how there are multiple Ricks.
Yo, yeah.
Because there are multiple of the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this came out a little bit before Rick and Morty. It's definitely better than Rick and Morty, so please check it out.
That's a tall ass. You might have just offended.
There's no Szechuan sauce, but it's pretty cool.
You might have already lost potential viewers just off insulting.
If you're that dedicated to Rick and Morty, I don't want you here.
It's like MGK. You know, he might be a good rapper, but he dissed Eminem. So it's, you know.
Yeah, and I thought he was on a farm in his video, so.
He had a shovel, to be fair.
I'm still not convinced
he had a shovel.
He said there was water behind him. It looked like a field to me. They're very hard to distinguish, a field and water. Very hard.
You know, in the right, if it was foggy out, maybe.
I'm going to pass the baton to you now.
I want to see your current inspirations. I want to ask some questions on your inspiration first. I'm not settled with that. I don't feel like you've shared with the class enough.
That's okay. That's fair.
So how do you think... Well, first I'll say, you know, on the tune of the answer to the first bit of this question, what do you feel about the comic book is something that you draw inspiration? What do you think it makes it unique and interesting in its own way? You mentioned the art style, so we'll talk about that first.
Yeah, I like the art style. East of West is not crazy minimal, but the style is very minimalistic.
Okay.
So it's not overly detailed. I know one of the issues I have with a lot of like manga and stuff is it's so detailed and there's so much line art that I sometimes can't tell what's happening.
Well, color helps a lot. Color too, does help. In the comic, helps distinguish shapes.
But I know like a lot of the larger ones are just black and white, right?
What's that, manga?
Yeah.
Oh, most manga. But I was saying with comic books, it helps be less busy in general because the color helps distinguish shapes. And manga are black and white, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like manga is always telling so much. Like, I feel like they have a frame for everything, whereas at least in a lot of American comics, they leave a lot to the mind to figure out.
That's definitely true.
There's a lot of meanwhiles or cuts. Mm-hmm. Like, I know East of West jumps between places, and it's very well crafted because you can totally keep track. There's about seven timelines going at once.
I think that is a Japanese quality though. All the negative space frames of just background, the meanwhiles. I think the Japanese are huge on weather, on aesthetic, on that moment, very awareness thing going on in their culture, and so I think that part of setting the dramatics, like if you look into kabuki, their traditional theater, their actors will freeze in frame. Like there's a build up to them going into a pose. They move like one body part at a time, and then they swivel their neck and they freeze in frame. And at the end of kabuki shows, all the characters freeze together. I think they're real like, big on that moment, you know?
Well, you can tell too with all the filler episodes in anime. It's going up to one moment.
It's true, but I mean, they do it in anime. I mean, how many times, especially older anime, like Dragon Ball Z, how many just slow pans are there or close-ups on characters? How long do things take? They're so big on embracing that the scenery, the environment, the moment.
Yeah, these comics are actually good, and they can do that, you know, without... I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I don't want to offend everybody.
They're a little faster. You also got to look at the form in which these things come out. Like,
yeah, so I was telling Brandon that this comic is monthly. That's issues, and I buy the volumes. There's four issues in a volume.
Mm-hmm.
So volume 8 just came out. I'm not going to be able to get volume 9 until like January.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, maybe not as many bigger anime, but a lot of manga are released weekly.
Mm-hmm.
Mangaka, especially ones in Shonen Weekly and magazines that come out, or even a lot of digital ones now, they're releasing a chapter a week, and then, you know, however many chapters, 24 chapters or something in a volume, or all right, 24 is a little extreme, but either way, they have a chapter a week, which is generally about like 15 to 20 pages of manga. So that's a lot, and a lot of that, they, you know, you have to make up for just extreme content and then finish it out in 3 weeks, or cranking something out and not being good, they make up for that with this scene.
You can definitely tell, because I think Image is one of the better comic companies out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely shows, because the art is incredible, the coloring is incredible. There's a lot of thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a magazine versus a newspaper, you know, like how newspapers are full of typos and weird things. And magazines come out monthly, so you've got more time to think about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those comics are inspiring right now. I don't know if maybe inspiring, but motivating.
Okay. Well, I think that's an important distinction, because my next question was going to be along the lines of, how do you think it has influenced your work in any capacity?
Yeah.
Do you think it's just driven you to do more, or has it had an actual artistic impact?
Yeah, I don't know if... I'm not sure what the exact, like, line between motivation and inspiration would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're fairly interchangeable, but the influence has just been a focus on, like, I think I want to tell more story in art versus just making it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's also kind of like reinvigorated my love for like alternate universe sci-fi kind of stuff,
because
I haven't been really doing a lot of that, and it's definitely made me want to draw more. I haven't drawn a lot.
Okay.
So
me either.
Actually. It just kind of it's kind of motivated me to do more stuff that would fall in line with illustration.
Okay. That's definitely fair.
Yeah. I've talked a lot. Let's pass the mic to you.
Okay.
You already have one, but please. Inspirations.
Let's see. What has been inspiring me lately?
Darkest, deepest dreams.
No. So I'd say Brandon and I have been very into music lately. Listening. Oh my gosh. We were trying to count earlier. 6 new albums have or will be coming out within like a 2-week, 3-week span, and it's pretty crazy. There's a ton of new music out right now. Eminem, Kanye, Jaden, Brockhampton, like just to name a few, like a lot of big people, Wayne, like crazy albums coming out. Logic, did I say Logic? Probably not Death Cab for Cutie, but are they? Because that would be pretty cool. Are they coming out with a new album?
I think it's a single.
Oh, I mean different, but I like Death Cab for Cutie. I'm not upset about that. Beartooth? Mm-hmm. But no, so we listen to a lot of music, and Brandon and I have been freestyling a lot, like rapping, which has gotten me inspired to write a lot more. I think I got a journal. I've been writing daily, whether it be writing a verse, writing some poetry, just writing a log on how I think. A lot of it tends to be pretty philosophical and spiritual, just a to-do list, just something to get writing. I'd say music and freestyling a lot has encouraged me a lot. You would agree, Brandon?
No, 100%. Like if you look through my notes right now on my phone, it's just so many different like poems and like bars and stuff like that. It's just fun, you know? It's like a way to like go through things that you normally wouldn't go through in your mind.
Yeah.
Like find different words and ways they all go together and just write them down. It's cool.
Yeah. And I'm an English major, so to me it feels like I'm making use of my major.
And that's one of the things I like, that since we've been doing that so much recently, it's kind of like I've always been more into like the musical part of things, and you've always been into the words, like word heavy kind of stuff, I guess. Yeah. So I like that, like when we come together, we have like a pretty cool dynamic.
We can create something, yeah. And I'm black, so I get to use that too.
Yeah, and I'm not, but you know.
They let me say nigga.
I just don't.
I'd say, so definitely a lot of music inspiration lately. I think art-wise has been a lot of thinking about... This is your last time.
You can't bring this guy anywhere.
Coaster.
It's your coaster's fault.
Art-wise, I'd say a lot of thinking about Time Realm, the new Immortal season that should be coming out soon, hopefully.
We got to release a logo shirt first.
We do have to do a logo shirt, but we're working on it. We've got a couple ideas floating around that I should probably stop being a bum about and finish up, but you know, we'll get there. But art-wise... Time Realms, I've been looking at expressions of time, so a lot of my inspiration is drawn from things that interest me in real life. So a lot of spiritual things, that you know, doing a lot of spiritual research into different religions, and I like the chakras in a lot of my designs. I've recently been playing with like Atlantis and looking into lost civilizations as an expression of time, and the phases of the moon, things like that, that are, you know, I like looking at, you know, making nonfiction art.
I thought you said law.
Lost civilizations, yeah. Civilizations that follow laws.
There'd be this world that takes place in Yale, and it's law.
It's just law.
A whole bunch of lawyers.
Is Yale the only law school?
Harvard Law.
Oh, they can't hear you. You don't have a mic.
Yeah. It's the only one that matters.
I don't know. What do you think, Brandon?
I went to Yale Correctional Facility.
You said you're starting to yell.
What do I think about what?
Have you had any artistic influences lately, or you think just music-wise for you?
I feel like the majority of the influences I've had recently have come through going back to school. Mm-hmm. A lot of like things like that, like being in chemistry classes and such. Finally, again after like my hiatus, it's been really nice.
Brandon's a STEM major, guys. I don't know if that was ever announced.
Yeah, all about. I love chemistry, and just being able to like do it again and actually apply the stuff that I'm good at. Like one of the only things that I consider myself like confident in. Like it's being able to do it again is really nice.
Yeah,
and I feel like not only that, just being in an institution that kind of like forces me to have structure in my life in some way, kind of is like it's starting to add some sort of need for me to put structure in the rest of my life. So I've been getting there, you know. I've been trying to build up to that.
So do you think, in the same way Jared and I have creative influencers, do you think that there are people that motivate or inspire you within the STEM community to figure things out and push forward?
100%. Because there's a lot, especially when it comes to like the kind of like, you know, chemistry, that kind of like degrees and such. It's a lot of times you're like, okay, this is a really cool degree. What am I going to do with it? You know? Yeah. And then like, but like now, like actually being back in school with a whole bunch of people that do it, it's like, okay, that's a lot of things that I can do with it. I just got to like, you know, meet the right people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's about what and who you know.
Yeah, so. It's true. That's interesting, though. Do you think there's the same, I don't know, I guess it's different because for art, we can have the discussion about like learning, but not taking too much and replicating it or doing something like that.
Well, I think yes and no, because you know how we had the conversation when we were with Zeke the other day when you were talking about what was like the amino acids or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Or just little things.
Leucine, yeah.
Yeah, just things that I see throughout, you know, just life recently have just, you know, mimicked themselves in a more like scientific point of view in my mind, you know?
Well, chemistry is one of those things, right? Chemistry is one of those things that you can really start to look at every aspect of your life through that lens, and it's really cool.
It's my gear. I'm going to steal this. I got a question for you real quick.
You have to be weird about it.
I kind of liked it, though.
So, would you consider chemistry an art? Mm. Ooh. And if so, is the beauty of it the flaws, or is that a no-go?
I'm going to go with yes, because in chemistry, the majority of what you do is based off of theories. And theories are just ideas that people have had that 100% can be proven wrong. The only actual, like, you know, things that are in science that do not change are laws, because like theories and everything else that you use to find everything about everything in the world can and continue to be debunked. So in a way, the real art behind science is the flaws, because everything about science is not accepting what you're told and finding out the answer for yourself. So if you can find ways to disprove other people, that's kind of what it's all about, you know?
That's a great answer. I wasn't expecting that to be such a good question. Thanks, Jared. I wasn't
expecting to have such a good answer.
Man, what's in that drink? Wow, we just spiked the audio like crazy.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. You can have your mic back. I would like to pivot my mic back over here. Yeah.
I was going to say, to add to that point too, about the idea of like flaws in science are, I talk to my pharmacist all the time about products in the pharmacy and in that department, the health and wellness area. And there are a lot of drugs that actually start out with a purpose, and it's discovered that they have actually a better use somewhere else. You know, like my pharmacist craps on melatonin for sleep aid. He said it does nothing. You have to take it really regularly for a while before it even has any effects on the body. He actually said take Benadryl if you want to fall asleep, because it makes you drowsy. And even though that's not the intended purpose, he genuinely said like in a couple years that might just be what it's for. You know,
I think Viagra was one of those things that was actually for your heart, but it gave you a boner. So that's what it's for now.
Yeah, there's a lot of drugs like that, actually, and you never know that, you know?
Yeah.
Working in a pharmacy.
I just thought it very funny that you talked to your pharmacist. I don't know why. I just imagine you just pulling up to, like, Walgreens and be like, hey, yo, Dr. Bob, what's up? Any new Advil news?
So at Walgreens, the first Tuesday of every month is Seniors Day. And there's an opportunity for the seniors to get balance awards points.
That's probably a slow day.
I'm trying to champion my brand here. That's a key word they want us to use. Championing
the brand. I just ragged on old people. That's
all. But they have an opportunity to get balance awards points if they go and talk to their pharmacist about the topic of the month. And a lot of it are health concerns that people don't know. And so they go and they talk to their pharmacist and say, hey, did you know that you could be at risk for this and what the telltale signs of this are? Would you even know if something was wrong? Things like that. Yeah. So people talk to their pharmacists, man. I do all the time. What's the best way to get rid of this baby?
Whoa.
How do I know if I have herpes? I work on a college store, man. Does Plan B work? These are real questions. We sell Plan B at the pharmacy window.
I wanted to change topics. I almost said pivot again. I wanted to go back to Brandon and his comment on like self-imposed structure or like willingly being in situations that require structure, because I found that, and this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, I had, when I was in high school, well, even in middle school, I was like, man, I've got such an advantage. I know what I want to do, and I already know my path to get there, and I'm going to be so productive, and I'm going to like be years ahead of everybody. And then I got to high school, and I was super fired up and stuff, and then I got to college, and I was super fired up and stuff. But the thing was, high school, I had to get up early, and I had homework and a regimen. I had after-school activities. And then college was, I picked my own schedule. I commuted. It wasn't very far, so I could just go home. There weren't really a whole lot of rules. And so I kind of got lazy. And okay. It wasn't very productive. I was still more productive than I was after college. And then I was out of college for, you know, like 6 months. Kind of trying to find work or experience, and I was just a total bum. I mean, and up until this job, I really haven't been, you know, very structured, and I'm like realizing, man, I need to get back to that, where, you know, like I really enjoy waking up early now, and I really enjoy like having deadlines and things to do and things to put on the calendar. Like I've been waking up at 5:30 to go to New York, and I actually like, I don't mind the potentiality of going in 4 or 5 days that week. I don't mind because I kind of like getting up and having this routine.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. I think that maybe not for everybody because everybody's different and they work better under different circumstances. But I've certainly always felt in my life that setting absolutes for things you want to do is key. So they say in psychology that to say you're going to do something and then to actually do it has huge impacts on your psychology. It has huge impacts on it has a huge impact on the potentiality for you to continue to get things done in the future. I think too that thinking of the things you want to do as absolutes is really important. So if I want to start going to the gym, saying I have to go to the gym every day, maybe not having a set time because things come up, but to say every day or 5 days a week, I want to go to the gym. And setting that as an absolute, that there aren't excuses to that.
Yeah. And well, for me too, it was crazy because I literally could not get up in the morning. Like I had become so used to just sleeping in mm-hmm. and like starting my day at like 10 or 11, which for me is unacceptable. Like I know some people are like, I stay up late and that's cool. I stay up late too, like on the weekends. But I've really kind of started to like waking up at a reasonable time. And if you get up at a reasonable time, you're tired at the end of the day. You want to go to
100%.
Sleep. 100%. So, you know, I would always hate waking up at 10 and be like, wow, my morning is gone.
Yeah,
lunch in 2 hours. Yeah. I mean, I got up at 5:30 the last few days for work. And I mean, I got to the office, which for me is almost a 3-hour commute. I was getting there before people that live in the city.
Yeah.
And it was nice. I could grab breakfast. I could grab coffee and just relax.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like being early for stuff.
I considered for a while joining the military just because I like that structure.
I'm too blind. They would deny me.
That's true. They're very strict. But I genuinely thought about joining the Army because I wanted to have that structure in my life. I wanted to have those absolutes, those principles. I did consider joining the military for a while because I think the structure helps your life. I think, like, if you look at your sleep schedule, how huge of an impact that has on your, what, circadian rhythm? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Jordan Peterson has said tons of times has a huge impact on what you do. So there are lots of, I think there are lots of elements to consistency that benefit the brain and your lifestyle and things like that 100%.
Yeah. Can I talk about how weird it is getting used to having to talk to a microphone?
I agree wholeheartedly. It's so, I always really want to talk to, I want to make eye contact with the person I'm talking to.
Wow, my stomach is making some jacked up noises.
It is making some sounds.
Did you hear those? But yeah, so that's interesting take on, well, I love that you brought that up naturally with responsibility and stuff, because I feel like a lot of kids our age, like when you see really successful people our age, they have a regimen down. And even if they do get up at 11, they're like, I'm 11 to like 1 in the morning. But like, yeah, at 11, like when, if I get up at 11, stuff starts. I don't get up at 11 and I'm doing stuff by 3. But if you look at like successful people, I don't know if any successful people get up at like 1 p.m. Nope, like nobody, like they just,
well, because there's no time for anything. You may stay up until 1, but the rest of the world won't. You know, so yeah. In the grand scheme of things, when you're trying to do things that impact the larger world, like business and work, you can't do that at 8 o'clock at night, because that world's not open.
It's such a competitive advantage too, because you're up and ready before other people. So you're like, you're cutting the crowd in half.
Yeah, 100%.
Now you're too close. This guy.
Look, man, I'm trying. You know, it's my first day.
Can somebody give me a handicap podcaster sticker, please?
It's my first day.
I'm getting mean now. Put Brandon on the mic. He's good.
All right, take it.
Brandon, tell us about your responsibilities, and then we're gonna wrap this boy up.
What am I saying?
Please elaborate on your responsibilities and, you know, how they're improving your life.
Oh, well, last year I wasn't in school, so I was just kind of working part-time job, varying schedules. So everything that I would do kind of just revolved around my work schedule for that week. So I didn't have like a set time to wake up. I didn't have any real responsibility to take care of besides working. And now being in school, it's kind of like, okay, I know that I have these classes on these days and that I have homework I have to turn in by, you know, this time while also still working. So it's like, I have to balance everything that I do in order to be able to actually like be successful in all of it and like eat and sleep properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a blessing and a curse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I found it that it's initially really hard. Like if you're not, because I never did a lot of sports and a lot of after school activities, so I'm never used to, you know, running about and doing all that kind of stuff. But I've noticed that even kids that are busy like that, that doesn't mean they're organized. They're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Constantly forgetting stuff or, you know, like having conflicts of interest and time. So I've actually really started like taking note of like the past generations. Like my grandfather is meticulous and it seems kind of overkill, but like his life runs smooth. That's something like I want to aspire to. Like when I'm an older adult, like I want to have that order in my life where everything for the most part goes according to plan.
Yeah.
And it's like a really peaceful, calming, and I think, way to be.
And I get that because like now, even when I do have all these things that I'm trying to, you know, keep my life all blocked out and scheduled, it's like there's still a lot of times I forget things, places, you know, in the times that I'm bouncing around, you know, I forget things, places, I forget to do things. Like, you know, I'll make plans and I'll forget them and then I'll have like other things that I need to do first. So like, no matter like how much I think I'm accomplishing, there still is so much further to go, you know, and so many more things to accomplish.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of crazy because I learned how to say no more often. Like I was always getting caught doing art for free or projects for free or helping out with stuff. It was weird. Like the more I said no, the more I could actually do.
Yeah,
like I was saying, like I was like saying yes and I was getting busy and having all this stuff lined up. But actually the more I denied and the more like structure I had, the faster and more efficient I was, mm-hmm. and the more I could actually do.
It's like once you start valuing your time more and realizing that there is limited time in every day, it's like you start spending your time doing things that actually benefit yourself as opposed to just, yeah, I guess I can cut out some of my time for this, you know?
Yeah, and that was one of my fears in high school when I like had my plan made was like, I don't want to waste my, you know, my youth goofing around. Like I didn't go to parties. I did art and just kind of kept to myself. Mm-hmm. And I was ahead of the game for a while, but then I kind of grew stagnant.
Yeah.
And like up until now, I haven't really been challenged to do anything better, which is why, you know, having this job and being with like creative inspiration has been so important because I need something to push me. and like I need, you know, I need pressures.
Yep. And that's another thing is I think trying to find the point in which you should peak is kind of hard. And a lot of people that, you know, they believe the earlier you peak, once you get to like a good point, it's like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be set and I can start doing the right thing. But so, like, you know, if you do like peak too early, you can just become very complacent. Like, okay, I've already reached this point. No one's going to get to me. What now? Whereas some people take way too long partying and just, you know, not actually honing their craft. And they're like, you know what? I'm old and no one's going to want to hire me now. I probably should have got my stuff together earlier.
Yeah, and I know from personal experience, if you peak too soon, you'll get a headshot in PUBG. So peaking, critical. That's good. I think this podcast just peaked. Let's wrap it up. Please, exchanging of the mics. Oh, coming back around now. Pivoting.
Hello. Like orbit. Can we orbit around the topics? Ooh.
That implies that I'm fat and have a gravitational pull.
No, it implies that our audience is fat and we are. No, I guess the topics are fat if we're orbiting around them.
Well, we do talk about heavy topics.
There it is.
Ooh, this is the orbital podcast.
What is? How does, like that. How does density affect orbiting? Does density affect orbit? Do we have any?
Can we have a
astrophysicist?
Can we have a spinoff of an orbital podcast?
You mean our podcast?
Podcast. I don't know what
we'll
just
have this discussion off camera. That's okay. No.
All right.
Join us. Join Brandon and I on the podcast in the coming weeks.
It's called the Orbital Podcast.
Orbital Podcast. I don't know why I just did that.
Orbital Podcast.
Orbital.
The Orca Whale Podcast.
All right. Cool. Yeah. We peaked because it's been downhill from here.
Yeah. I definitely hope that. I think it was a very inspirational, motivational podcast. I think. We talked about a lot of good things, about interactions with your peers in a workplace environment or just in day-to-day life, interacting with people, how to find motivation and kind of intermingle that with your designs and your work and keeping focused, creating your own brand identity.
I think like at the end of the day too, it's kind of like math where there's always like the end result. But there's like 600 different ways to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can give you like our personal path, but there's always, you can borrow bits and pieces along the way. But like ultimately, there's still like a lot of figuring out everybody has to do because everybody's situation is different.
Unless your idea is a prime idea, in which case there's only one way to get there. Is that how prime numbers work?
They only have two factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this isn't that. This isn't that. No, there are tons of different ways to get to your ideas. There's tons of different ways to find your ideas, to go about putting those ideas into the world. There's so much uniqueness to the process, and it's an experience to find your own uniqueness and to really put that into a product that you really like, and you get something that at the end of the day you're proud of. You know, and I think that's the big thing about motivation and inspiration, creativity. Creating is finding something at the end of the day that you're proud of. Yeah, I'm just trying to. I wanted to get safely over 45 minutes. So,
my dude, we're at 47.
How was your week, Jared?
Oh crap! Yeah, my week. I just had work.
Yeah, I feel you. Actually, I did a lot of working and schoolwork this week.
Well, yeah, I did. I got up incredibly early this week for work. I was tired of like sitting on the 8 o'clock bus with all the other late schmucks. So I was like,
don't
you know
be
what?
A schmuck like your father.
I'm just going to get up at 5:30 and catch the 7:30 train and blow right over there.
How'd that go? Well,
dude, it's great.
That's what's up. That's really cool.
It goes from a like 2.5 hour ride at 8 to like an hour express ride at 7:30.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's been wonderful. Got enough time to grab coffee, maybe breakfast, get to the office early and look good. I'm freelance. So if I don't have hours, I pretty much just get sent home, which sucks. So always trying to keep busy.
It's a long drive to get home there just to go back home.
Yep. Well, thanks for tuning into the Immortal Podcast this week. We hope you guys enjoyed, and we'll catch you on the airwaves later as we pivot to the next episode. English, please.
I mean, see ya.
I wonder if Mars stops.